Hi, Brother Bry here with a word for today. So let's get ready to partake of the river of life in today's message. Yeah, there's this little kid in a hot August night at a revival ceremony with his parents. This was BAC before air conditioning, and everybody had their little handheld fans fanning themselves and trying to cool themselves off. And the revival minister got up there and talked about baptism and how this was a cool, cleaning water to refresh. That little kid's ears perked up, and he said, "Water? Swimming pool? It's hot. I want to jump right in and do my swan dive. Mommy, mommy, I want to be baptized." And the mother looked down in a wise way and says, "Why do you want to be baptized?" "Because it's hot, and I'm sweating, and I'm dirty." "Well, son, you got a part of it right, but not all. There'll be a time in your life when you realize that you need to change your life. And at that time, you will know that you will be ready to be baptized." Brothers and sisters of God, I remember when I was that little boy asking my mother that, and my mother in her wise ways told me that. I was just a young little kid, and she was so wise and prophetic, and not even knowing it, that at one point in my life, I needed to be water baptized. So, brothers and sisters, what are Christians to do after you become born again and saved? Many folks wonder about this. Some stand idly by, just mindlessly kicking the can down the road with their hands in their proverbial pockets, not knowing what to do. Does that sound like you, brothers and sisters? Christianity is active. It's alive because Jesus Christ is alive. There are many believers old and new who do not know what to do, what this Christianity thing is all about. They simply don't have a clue. In this series, we're going to begin looking into this, so we'll stop kicking the can down the road, wondering what we are to do. This series began with the last message on what is it about, becoming a Christian. We continue looking into this, into what does a believer do next. So like my mother's wise words spoken long ago to me, there will be a time in your life when you realize that you need to change your life, and at that time, you will know you will be ready to be baptized. The next thing for a Christian to do is to get baptized. So what does it mean to get baptized? Baptism is from the Greek word baptizo, which simply means to immerse or place into something. And in this case, water, to be fully immersed in water. So it means to be completely immersed into water as well as being raised up out of it. So why is baptism important? It is important because Jesus himself was baptized, as it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 9. "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River." And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "He who says that he abides in Jesus ought himself also to walk as Jesus walked. And Jesus walked through the baptismal waters, so shall we." Next, Jesus said that we must be baptized in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, where he says, "Go therefore, make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age." Amen. Baptism demonstrates that you are a believer in Christ. You are making a public declaration that I am changing my life. Acts chapter 18, verse 8 says, "The ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Baptism is part of the Great Commission. Jesus Christ himself was baptized. He commands us also to be baptized. That's why it's important. So, this leads us to the next question. What does baptism mean? Let me give you an idea of what baptism means. In the Old Testament, the priest, before going into the temple to ministers, were required to baptize themselves into a mikvah. A mikvah was a large laver of water. fully immerse themselves before they enter into the temple for service. It was a preparation. In the gospel accounts, it tells us that John the Baptist baptized a baptism that symbolized one's repenting. That means turning away from the old ways in such a manner that one made a vow that they will now walk God's ways and not solely their own. It was into this kind of baptism that a sinless, perfect Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized by him, for it was a fitting and right thing to do. Jesus Christ was immersed into the water, and he arose from the River Jordan by John the Baptist. What sinless Jesus was saying was that he was now committing his life into the Father's hand to complete the task the Lord desired him to fulfill voluntarily, and was empowered by the Holy Spirit who descended upon him like a dove to do this task. So brothers and sisters, what task does the Lord have for you? You don't know yet? Maybe it's time to stop kicking that can down the road and be water baptized. That is, if you have not been already water baptized. If you have been baptized, maybe you need to learn what God desires you to be. So hang tight here and learn what the Lord wants to learn you. Likewise, we too are called to be baptized because it identifies us as a willing believer in Christ to follow after him. Now, it is important to note this, folks of God. Baptism doesn't make you a Christian. It shows that you are already one. Baptism does not save you. You are saved by God's grace alone, shown upon that cross through faith in Christ Jesus worked there. Remember how he was put on that cross, and the nails were driven into his hands. We drove those nails. God died in a hugging position, and our sins kept him from hugging us. And he was buried. Then he was rose for the third day to give us new life, so now he can hug us. You are saved by this type of grace alone, shown upon that cross through faith in Jesus Christ. And so he now, through faith, gives you that divine, life-altering hug of fellowship forever. Think of baptism in this manner. It's like a wedding ring. It is the outward symbol of the commitment you make in your heart to Jesus Christ. Or think of it as putting on your team sports jersey for life, which indicates that we are now on Jesus' winning team. Amen! Baptism is the New Testament way of going public with your faith. Next, baptism symbolizes our identifications with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, as it is written in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, where it says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. As it is written in Romans chapter 6, 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we will also walk in newness of life." What this means, brothers and sisters of God, is just as like my wise old mother said to me long, long ago, there will come a time in your life when you'll realize that you need to change your life. And at that time, you will know you will be ready to be baptized. And Romans chapter 6, 4 states that we should also walk in newness of life. That is the essence of water baptism. It is a public commitment saying to all, "I am a believer. I am, by the Lord's help, will become transformed into what he desires for me to be in this life. I'll come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need as he helps me walk that 1 John 1:9 way." What is the 1 John 1:9 way? It simply says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It is placing yourself into the Lord's hands. And if you do make mistakes and you do blow it, you can confess these to the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of that unrighteousness, brothers and sisters of God. So now when you're water baptized, you can walk in the fullness of what these words mean in your life. That's the essence of baptism. It's a public commitment saying to all that I'm a believer. I am, by the Lord's help, will become transformed into what he desires me to be in this life. so that I can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need by walking that 1 John 1:9 way by confessing my sins, that he's faithful and just, that he'll cleanse me, and that he's not going to forsake me. He's not going to abandon me. He may chasten me until I realize that my sin is wrong and I finally make up my mind to quit doing it. Yes, you're placing yourself into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ to shape you and to mold you. It is a public declaration. That's what baptism is. Baptism is that public declaration that I'm placing myself into the hands of the Lord. I'm putting on that wedding ring so people see who I belong to. I'm putting on that team's jersey saying that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes. Baptism symbolizes placing yourself into the care of the Father, into the care of the Son, and into the life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been water baptized, brothers and sisters of God, you need to be. Again, let me stress this. Baptism is not essential for salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. If you're saved by water baptism, then that is a work, and a work doesn't save you. Baptism is a volunteer thing. For example, I became a born-again believer, and it was about a year later that I became water baptized. When I went to that water to be baptized, I went to that church, and that church gave me all their documents, everything possible on how to be water baptized. I went into that water, a dirty old sinner, and came out feeling so clean. Because I made a commitment to wear God's wedding ring on my finger. I made that commitment to put that jersey on me that I belong to Jesus Christ and that I will learn to walk as he walked. I will follow him the rest of my days. I am making a commitment publicly to all that I belong to Jesus Christ. That's true water baptism. Well, folks of God, there's a lot of needless confusion over baptism, and James writes to us in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 and 18, this: Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion, division, and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, this principle: Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. And brothers and sisters, if someone is preaching Christ from envy and strife, dividing the church, guess what's going on? Confusion and every evil work is going on, brothers and sisters. But also some preach from goodwill. So when it comes to baptism, guess what? If it causes strife, there will be all kinds of devilish devices. Devilish mischief occurs, splitting and needlessly dividing the body of Christ. When it comes to baptism, what happens? Someone's teaching on baptism causes strife. Well, there's going to be all kinds of devilish mischief that occurs, that's splitting and needlessly dividing the body of Christ into fighting factions of we got it right and you all's got it wrong. We're the right ones and you're the wrong ones. Splitting up the body of Christ, dividing with all kinds of mischief. Like Paul writes, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife and also from goodwill. With this in mind, James wrote what? Wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield. Why can't that happen on the subject of water baptism? With this in mind, is it important to be baptized in Jesus' name only as the Apostle Peter did in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where he says, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Or is it important to be baptized as the Great Commission statement of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, can we bury the gospel hatchet, brothers and sisters, by not burying it into each other's backs for a change. James wrote, "The wisdom that is from above is peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield and full of mercy. The other type of wisdom comes down that seeks devilish division and strife and envy is demonic. The church has been too long divided by this subject. Should we baptize in the name of Jesus only? Or should we baptize in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit? And you got people fighting each other over this. And if you're one of these people that have to be right at all costs, and you're throwing your fist on the ground, what manner of believer do you line up with in James chapter 3, verses 13 and 18? Are you preaching from strife and envy? Are you preaching from goodwill? James wrote this, the wisdom that is from above is peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. So does your take on baptism reflect this? Gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. Recall that baptism symbolizes placing yourself into the care of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that as Romans chapter 6, verse 4 states directly about baptism, that we will also walk in newness of life. Jesus placed himself into the Father and the Holy Spirit's care to do the Father's will voluntarily when he was baptized. We are to walk as Jesus walked. In the Old Testament, the priests, before going into the temple to minister as servants, baptized themselves for service to all. So if you are baptized in Jesus' name only, what the intent of the heart of the one doing the baptizing must be is this: I am placing this person into the care of the Father, into the care of the Son, and into the care of the Holy Spirit, so that he or she will walk in newness of life that the Lord brings. This fulfills Matthew chapter 28, verse 19's charge, does it not? What happens if your intent of your heart is only to be right? Don't you have a formula that just works right, and you're relying on a work? We're saved by grace, not of works. And if our works are causing this strife and division, devilish division that divides the church of God, divides people and pits people against each other, that type of wisdom does not come from God. So brothers and sisters of God, for too long, too many people want to be the lords of right and make baptism a messy affair for division and strife. And guess what? Where strife is, every evil work is there. So if you're baptized in the name of the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit, as you go under the waters, so what? The same intent is present. You are being placed into the care of the Father, into the care of the Son, and into the care of the Holy Spirit, so that you can walk in newness of life that the Lord promises. So let's stop foolish squabblings amongst the brethren. As for me, I'm baptized knowing that when I do, I am placing that person into the care of the Father, into the care of the Son, and into the care of the Holy Spirit, so he or she will walk in newness of life. That is the intent. That is the purpose of my heart. I am handing the Lord's wedding ring to them. I am handing them the winning team's jersey to them. I'm marking them because they came and said, I want to change my life. And I'm placing them into the care of the Father. I'm placing them into the care of the Son. I'm placing them into the care of the Holy Spirit. I'm placing them into the full character of Jesus Christ, whose character was to place people into the care of the Father and into the care of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit for that purpose, to train you, to equip you, and teach you of all things, and convict you of judgment, of sin, and of righteousness. And water baptism is a public profession that I am going to wear the wedding ring of Christ. I am going to wear that winning team's jersey. So when the devils of hell see me coming, they know there is a born-again, blood-bought, powerful, Holy Ghost-talking, warring Christian who comes and says that the kingdom of God is here. Do you want to be that believer? Do you want to have that kind of power and that kind of authority? Let's get water baptized. So do you need to be baptized? So like my mother's wise words spoken to me long ago, there will be a time in your life when you realize that you need to change your life. And at that time, you will know you will be ready to be baptized. Well, brothers and sisters, the answer is up to you. Are you ready to change your life? So I ask you, go to your local church and be baptized. Go with this intent in your heart. I want to change my life by placing myself into the care of the Father, into the care of the Son, and into the care of the Holy Spirit, so I can walk in newness of life that the Lord promises to bring. I want to wear that wedding ring. I want to wear that team jersey. I want to be able to go where I'm going, and the devils of hell can see that I'm a born-again, blood-bought Christian, and I want them to tremble. I'm not going to cower no more to these things. Where I go, the kingdom of God is. If you want that, make a public profession of faith. So I ask you, do you want to change your life by placing yourself into the care of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit so you can walk in newness of life-changing power that the Lord brings? He wants you to be baptized so that you are identified with him and you are marked by a bunch of believers who see you go into that water, the old man being buried and the new man being raised out of the water with the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit to change the direction of your life because you went with the intent to have your life changed for service for the Lord. If that is you, all I can ask is that you go. Go and be baptized. Go and seek it. Say, I want to be baptized. I want to change my life. You might make your pastor very proud. You might make your pastor very happy to have somebody to dunk in the tank. And brothers and sisters, make sure you get fully submerged. Why? That's what Jesus did. That's what the apostles did. And that's what is required. A full immersion into water. The water symbolizes the ground. You're being buried into the ground. Your sins are there. And you want to change your life into the power of his resurrection as you come out of that water. You want to leave the old life behind, and you want to put on that wedding ring. You want to put on that team jersey so that people know that you're a believer. That is water baptism, brothers and sisters of God. Well, folk, that's today's message. That leads me to ask another question. What are we Christians supposed to do in our Christian walk? Are we to be an audience who continues to grow calluses on our buns? Or an army on the move that transforms those around us where we have been assigned? Well, to discover this, you need to stay tuned for the next message, because this series is about what to do as a believer, what it means to believe, what it is, and what it's about, and what's up. So this is Brother Bry with a word for today. If you'd like to contact me, please go to my website, afterhoursministries.com. After Hours Ministries is all one word. Ministries is plural. There you'll find a video of me teaching. Then you know you got the right website. Look up my contact page and let me know how Jesus Christ touched your life. God bless you all.